This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series called The Power of Words. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's been a great series. I've been learning some things through it, learning how to speak right. Amen? And we need to learn how to talk the way God talks. Amen? And so we've been in this series and we've been discovering different aspects of speaking right words that can cause victory in our lives. So either our words will cause victory in a Christian's life or our words can cause defeat in a Christian's life. So you can still be a Christian and you can walk in victory as a Christian, and as a Christian, you can walk in some defeat. Are you listening to me this morning? So just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be living a victorious life. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. So it's going to take something for us to live a victorious life. There are some Christians that aren't living as victoriously as they can be. And so hopefully through these messages that we're going to go to another level, we're going to go to a higher level and walking in greater victory. Somebody say greater victory. So we have a choice in what to speak. And I don't know about you, but I want to speak positive. You know, God is positive. Heaven is positive. And the world is positive and negative. Would you agree with me there? And a lot of times the world is more negative than positive. And a lot of times in our world, and where we got to be very careful in our words, sometimes we're speaking positive and sometimes we're speaking negative. Now, I know that's not this group. I know you guys are always speaking positive, but a lot of times we live in a world that has negativity and we live in a world that has positivity. And so a lot of times we're going back and forth, and you know, a double-minded man will get nothing from the Lord. So you can't be negative one moment, positive the next, and see the fullness of victory in our lives. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, stay positive. Amen. We got to stay positive. Amen. And I love that. So I like what the Apostle Paul says. And these are our foundational scriptures we've been going with, or the Apostle James. And he says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. I love this because this is a great first saying that our words can bridle our body. And that word bridle, you can actually exchange that word bridle for control. So you could say that your words can control your bodies. Can I get a witness in the house today? In other words, if any of you are dealing with any kind of weaknesses in your body, you can speak to those weaknesses. You can speak to the pains. You can speak to the aches. Amen. And you need don't speak this out. Oh, I hurt. Oh, this hurts. I'm in pain. I'm in a world of hurts. Don't be speaking like that. Amen. No, you want to speak the exact opposite of what's coming against your body. Instead of saying I'm catching a cold, say I'm catching a healing. Amen. Instead of saying that this hurts, thank you, Lord, that I'm walking in healing. You need to change the way you talk about things and saying my sciatica. This is my sciatica. You know, you're claiming the very pain that you're dealing with, and you don't need to be claiming that pain. Amen. So you need to learn to control what comes out of your mouth. Amen. And we need to learn to control that. And you can control what comes out of your mouth by speaking faith-filled words over your circumstances. Amen? You know, Brother Hagin, when he was really sick, and I talked to him a lot, I talk about this a lot in my series, but he was sick, he was in bed, he had a deformed heart and an incurable blood disease. And he started speaking to his body. He started speaking healing to his heart. He started speaking healing to his blood. He started speaking healing. And where did he get that? He got that from Jesus. He got that from Mark 11, 22. And Jesus said in Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain to be removed and to be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We see here that faith works in two ways. Can I get out of my seat this morning? Faith works in two ways. Faith works by speaking and faith works by praying. Think about that. Faith works by speaking and faith works by praying. So we activate our faith through speaking and praying. But if you study Jesus, you'll find that he did more speaking than praying. I'm going to say that again. If you study Jesus' ministry, you'll find that he did more speaking. Now, he prayed to the Father quite often, and he got to, you know, he would get up early and pray, and he did a lot of praying. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to discount praying this morning, but he did a lot of speaking and setting people free. So what am I saying? I'm saying that you're going to have to speak it more than you believe it, and you need to speak it over and over again until you see the results happening in your circumstances. So if you're dealing with, now, I've been preaching on, this is my 10th session in words, and I just started speaking to my body. Amen. I just started saying, you know, because my arm has been giving me a little bit of problems. And so I would say, man, what is wrong with that? And I'm finally saying, arm, you're healed in Jesus' name. Shoulder, it's not bursitis. Glory to God. My shoulder, you know, and the devil say, is that bursitis? Do you have bursitis? And, you know, the devil will try to get you thinking, oh, do you have, you got arthritis? That's right, it's arthritis. That's what you got. And you start thinking, I wonder if I got arthritis. I wonder if that's arthritis. And we start speaking this out. And you know what? I might have arthritis. No, you're claiming that. You don't want to claim that you have something that the devil is trying to put on you. You don't want to claim that. No, claim your healing. And so I just started speaking to my arm's been giving me a little issues lately. And I've spoken a couple times that arm, you're healed. Glory to God. Shoulder, pain is leaving in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that my arm's getting better. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why? Because the devil's trying to put some symptoms on some of us. The devil's trying to put something on us, but we can take it off of us. By the power of our words. Amen. Your bodies have to line up with the Word of God. Now I'm going to say this, that your future can line up with your words. In other words, where are you going? And you know what? I'm going to say you guys are going higher in the Lord. You guys are becoming debt-free and abundantly supplied. Somebody say, that's where I'm going. Debt-free and abundantly supplied. You got to believe that. Don't say, I owe, so off the work I go. You know? And you know, a lot of times we make these sayings, you know, I owe. Some of us are debt free in here, hallelujah. And you know, that's where we want to be at. We want to be debt free and abundantly supplied. There's no shame in having some debt in your life. There's no shame in that, but you can go higher. Say, I can go higher. So you can dictate where your life is going to go. Again, with the words that you say in James 3, verses 3 and 4, it says, indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn the whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So we see here that James is talking about horses. He's talking about great winds that can try to move us in a certain direction. And I'm going to say this, your present circumstance doesn't have to control your future results. Your present circumstance, where you're at today, doesn't have to produce future results. Because things can change. Faith will cause things to change in your life. You need to have positive faith words spoken on a continual basis to change any negative course that you may seem to be on. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Now, the key to this is when I said you got to speak faith, positive words, you got to do it continually. You just can't just say once, oh, thank you, Lord, I'm out of debt, and that's it. No, you thank God every day, every time you sow a seed. Thank you, Lord, I'm abundantly supplied. I'm debt-free. My house is being paid off, not in 30 years, not in 15 years. God can supernaturally pay your houses off. But you got to start believing that. See, we're not part of the regular world. The regular world takes 30 years to pay a mortgage off. But you can pay a mortgage off in half or less that in less time. Why? Because God's grace is on your life. Some of you might have 6-year car loans. Amen? You could have that paid off. They're doing 6-year car loans, I hear, these days. Amen. You gotta finance it for 6 years, glory to God. But you know what? I found out this, that you're not locked into making that payment for 6 years. They tell you that you can actually, it's called a simple interest loan, that you can pay it off early without any penalties. Isn't that right? But who does that, right? You do that, glory to God. No, we just spread it out for 6 years. No, you can take a 6-year payment on whatever, and you can cut it down to a year, 2 years. Why? You can believe and start speaking to it. And what will God do? God will start opening doors of grace. He will start giving you witty ideas. He will start revealing to you how you could do it. I mean, just one extra payment, a mortgage payment, a year on a 30 years mortgage will bring it down to 22 years. One extra payment. It'll knock out 8 years of 30-year payment. Just one. Can you believe God for one extra mortgage payment? Sure you can. Amen? You just got to believe it. Amen? So I want to encourage you to start speaking that your debts are paid in full. Glory to God. Start speaking that those debts are paid off and that God is helping you to pay those debts off. Amen? And I like this where it says in Proverbs, it says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips he shall be filled. So we see here that God wants us living satisfying lives, and he wants our lives to be fulfilled or filled up, glory to God. And so where does increase start? It doesn't start by working 80 hours a week. It starts by speaking words of increase into the atmosphere. Somebody say, I'm increasing this year. Glory to God. I'm walking in increase this year. Amen. And then we know this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So what's coming out of our mouths, we need to analyze it. Is it death or life? And whatever we're speaking, that's what the fruit that we're eating of. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat negative fruit. I don't want to eat death fruit. I want to eat life fruit, glory to God. So I want to encourage you to speak life. Now, I want to focus, because we're going into Thanksgiving, and I want to focus on my subtitle this morning. And my subtitle is Words of Thanksgiving and Praise. And I'm going to say this, we need to learn to start speaking words of thanksgiving and praise, not just on Sunday morning, not just during the worship service on Sunday morning. It's great to worship God on Sunday morning, but we need to start praising and thanking God every day and every chance that we get. Every day. Somebody say every day. You, Pastor, you're getting a little extreme on us today. No. We need to get extreme in our praise and our worship. We need to start getting extreme about our love for God. Amen. And so we need to learn to praise God. Amen. And so by speaking, we need to add words of thanksgiving and praise to our confessions of faith and what we're believing God for. What do I mean by that? I mean, we need to put at the beginning of our confession of faith, thank you, God, I'm debt free in Jesus' name. You want to put thank you, Lord. Why? Because you're bringing God into what you're believing him to do. You're saying it's not just you that's going to get it done. It's you and God working together to get it done. Is that right? So it's not just you. It's not just me, myself, and I. I got to make it work. No, it's God working with us. And we, okay, this is the key. We working with God. See, God wants to work with us, but are we working with God? And so how do we do that? We just got to get in line with what we believe that God wants in our lives. And God wants increase in our lives. So we start thanking God in our speaking, and we start thanking him for helping us to do what he's calling us to do. Amen. I love this because this is one of my favorite scriptures, and we should understand this, that we are in a natural world. We are in a negative world. We're in a world where we are, you know, the enemy, the devil, hates us, and he's going to try to attack us at times. And he's going to try to get some of us down and depressed. But I'm telling you, we can't be down and depressed. If you're down and depressed, then you're losing your hope. And hope is the earnest expectation of good to come. Hope is your anchor. You don't want to lose your hope because hope is a vital part of your faith. And so hope is when you're speaking God's promises, that brings hope. And when you have hope, then your faith is working. But when you're speaking the negative circumstances that's happening around you, the things that you don't like that are happening, then that takes away hope out of your faith. And that brings a negative expectation of something negative that's going to come. That's called fear. So you're either walking in faith or fear. You're either walking in boldness or cowardness. You're either walking in love or doubt and unbelief. And we're going to walk in love. We're going to walk in faith. Glory to God. So I love this. It says here in Psalms 118:24. You guys need to memorize this psalm. Memorize this psalm. It says, "This is a day that the Lord has made. I'm going to grumble and complain about it." Wait a second. That's the reverse translation. That's the reverse translation. No, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, this is not clarifying. This is the day the Lord has made. It doesn't clarify if it's raining outside. Well, Pastor, if it's raining outside, do I still rejoice? Yes, you still rejoice. Pastor, if I got a pain in my body, do I still rejoice? Yes, I still rejoice. Pastor, if I got a bad report, can I complain about that? No. You still rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it, not be sad in it. So the verse is one of the most powerful verses on our attitude pertaining to praise and thanksgiving. Amen. So we need to be rejoicing in the Lord and praising and giving him thanks. Amen. And this is great because in Psalms 118:1, let's look at this. Why do we give God praise? This is the question you need to ask yourself. Why should I give God praise? Why should I give God thanks? Well, in Psalms 118:1, it kind of gives us a clue why we should give God praise. Now, in Psalms 118:1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endures forever." So we see this, so we see that we give God thanks and praise first and foremost, for he is good. Now, this is what the devil will try to work on some of us. The devil will try to work on us if we're going through a trial or tribulation. The devil will try to make you think that God's in total control. He's controlling everything. And because he's controlling everything, what you're going through, God's behind it. So if God's behind the negative, the bad, and the ugly, then God must not be too good. Is that what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to make you think God's not really that good. Because if he was that good, you know, I'm going to church and I'm paying my tithes, but my refrigerator breaks down. And so God must, you know, must not be that good. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to get us to believe, he's trying to get some people to believe that God isn't that good. And so if he can get us to believe that or get us to have an attitude towards God. Remember Brother Hagin? He left his last church. He went out in field ministry and he started looking at his finances. And he said, "Lord, you know, I made more money when I was a pastor, you know." And he said, "You know, you sent me out here and I'm making less money. My family's not provided for." You know what Brother Hagin was saying right there? He was saying, "God, you're not that good." When you're complaining, you're saying, "God, you're not that good." When you're griping, you're saying, "God, you're not really that good." But God is good no matter what we're going through. Amen. Amen. And so we got to get that revelation. And then the Lord said, you know, and told Brother Hagin, "You don't practice what you preach." At first, the Lord said to him, you know, because he quoted that scripture, "The willing and obedient eat the best of the land." And the Lord says, "You're obedient, but you're not willing." And willingness has to do with a positive attitude. In other words, do you have a positive attitude in serving God? Do you have a positive attitude in what God is calling you to do? Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Because if you have a chip on your shoulder, then you're not going to see the great things that God has for you. Some people walk around with a chip on their shoulder. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because they've been hurt. And you're not going to hurt me anymore. And they got an attitude and they act like Clint Eastwood. Make my day. You know, a man's got to have his limitations. You know, was there five bullets in this gun or six? You know, now that's from a movie. Amen. So what am I saying to you? I'm saying that we got to learn to understand that God is good. Amen. And I like this because, and it says that he is good. And that his mercy endureth forever. So we serve a good God, and his goodness is evident. Hear what I'm saying today. God's goodness is evident towards his mercy towards us. So the second part why we praise God, first part is because he's good. The second part, because God is merciful. We got to understand that we don't get what we deserve. Hey, man, I like that bumper sticker. Christians are forgiven, amen, but they're not perfect. And we're forgiven, but we're not perfect, amen? In other words, God chooses imperfect people to bless and to work through. Can God bless an imperfect person? Yes, he's blessing you every day. He's blessing you every day. You say, "Well, I'm perfect. I'm perfect, Pastor." No, you're not that perfect. You got some issues. You got some flaws. Well, my spouse doesn't know that. Your spouse really knows you got flaws. You know, I can be a hero to some of you guys, but my wife knows who I really am. Get your dishes in the dishwasher. Amen. Amen. So my wife, she's solid. She doesn't let anything slide with me. Amen. So God, you got to have a good spouse that busts your chops every once in a while. if your spouse doesn't bust your chops every once in a while, then that's not a good spouse. I mean, they got to get you straightened up so you can fly right. Amen. So somebody say, God is merciful. God is good. And so because God is good and he's merciful, he gives mercy to imperfect vessels. I love what it says in Romans 5, 8, and 11. This is really great. It says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us. You could say God demonstrated his own mercy towards us because his love is his mercy. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we now receive reconciliation. So we see this is a lot of words here. And this is saying that God demonstrated his love for us while we weren't too nice, when we were bad people, when we weren't born again people. We were God's enemies before we met Jesus. And you could say, well, no, I was neutral. No, you were on the devil's side. If you're not on God's side, if you're not on Jesus' side, you're either on one side or the other. You can say, well, I'm on my own side. On your own side, you're on the devil's side. You got to be on God's side. Say, I'm on God's side. And so we got to get on God's side. But before you had Jesus in your life, you were an enemy of the cross. Why? Because you're living your life for yourself. Now, as Christians, you don't live for yourself anymore. You live for Jesus. Somebody say, I'm living for Jesus. And so we don't serve ourselves anymore. We serve Jesus. That's what makes us Christians. And so here, it says here that we can be thankful. This is the reason why we can be thankful. Because God loved us while we were doing wrong things. And number two, we can be thankful because God's blood brings us out of condemnation into reconciliation. So his blood brings us out of condemnation into reconciliation. And what that means is the veil has been torn from top to bottom when Jesus said, it is finished. And when Jesus said, it is finished, what he was saying is religion is done. No more religion. It's all about relationship. It's all about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and loving God and loving people. That's what it's about. Loving God. Somebody say loving God and loving people. So God is merciful. Jesus is merciful. Let's continue to look at this psalm here in 118. It said, let Israel now say, verse 2, working through 5, let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. Notice that theme that's going over and over again. His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. This is powerful because God can bring us out of distress, worry, and frustration and set us in a broad place. What he's saying here is that when you're under the fire or under the gun, when you're under pressure, when you're in the storms of life, you're what some people say is, I'm in a tight spot. Has anybody ever said that? Or have you ever said, I'm in a tight spot? That means that when you say something like that, or when a person says, I'm in a tight spot, that means they're between a rock and a hard place. Oh, that's another saying. Between a rock, that means you can't move. That means you're stuck. So what God is saying here is, this is a powerful verse, is that when you call upon the Lord, he will bring you out of your distress, and he will bring you into a broad place. He will bring you out of that tight spot, or out of that between a rock and a hard place. He will bring you into a place of freedom. Somebody say, I'm in that place of freedom today. Amen. I didn't want to put it in the future. I'm going to be in that place of freedom. Sometime, someday, I'll get there. No, you're there today. You're in a place of freedom today. It's all about perspective. You're not trying to get free. You are already free because Jesus has made you free 2,000 years ago. Say, I'm in that broad place. Shh, glory to God. Amen. So the keys of having a thankful heart is getting understanding that God is good and He's a loving God. Realizing God's love is always revealed in His acts of mercy towards people when they deserve judgment and they receive God's grace. Think about how good God is. He is so good to us that He blesses us in spite of our weaknesses. And we can look at the goodness of God, and it's all traced back to the book of Genesis. You know, God's goodness starts in the very beginning. And so if you go to the book of Genesis and you start studying the book of Genesis, you'll find how good God is. And in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, it says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him male and female. He created them. So one of the parts of God's goodness is that we're created in His image. In other words, we are in a higher creation. We're a higher creation than animals. So some people would say animals have greater rights than humans. No, humans have greater rights than animals. And people, mankind, is so blessed that we're the creation of God, and we're really on a higher order than the angels. Some people say, what? Pastor, angels are powerful. They can do great things. They're awesome. Yeah, but God has made you awesome. God has made you in His image and His likeness. So what does that mean, Pastor, that I'm made in His image? That means that you're a speaking spirit. In other words, God breathed His life into Adam and Eve's body. He breathed His life, and you have the life of God living on the inside of you. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Walk in the blind to see. It opens prison doors. Set the captives free. You got a river of life on the inside of you. You believe that today? Amen. Spring up, oh well, in my soul. Amen. We got rivers of life on the inside of us. How can we lose? You can't lose. You're made in the image of God. You are an eternal spirit in a material world. I used to listen to secular songs, and one secular song, we are spirits in the material world. Amen? And it's some of these secular artists get it right. We're spirits in a material world. Amen? You are a spirit. You live in an earth suit. This body is your earth suit. And you possess a soul and an intellect, and you are a speaking spirit. Say, I'm a speaking spirit. What was Adam's first job in the Garden of Eden? His first job was to name the animals, was to look at the animals and call the animals what they're going to be. Is that interesting? So the very first job that Adam had was a speaking job. I'm going to say this, that you are all speakers for God. You are all called to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are all called to talk about the goodness of God. Somebody say, I'm a speaker for God. I love that. And so God's blessing is on us because we're created in His image, number one. And then I love this. It says here, then God blessed them and God said to them, God blessed us and said to us, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God blesses us and gives us power to take dominion. Sometimes we think, and a lot of the world thinks, a lot of Christians think, well, God's in charge, he's large, he's in control, he's the one that dictates everything that happens on this planet. I would have to say that's not a true statement. No, God involves mankind to change things on this planet. Amen. God involves us to change things. God never does something unless he's going to say it first. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't do anything. He would always speak it through his prophets before he did anything. In the Old Testament, you will study this out, that God would always raise up a prophet to speak what he was going to do, and he would try to get the people to repent, and he would say, incoming judgment. Judgment's coming. If you repent, it doesn't have to come. So he would say to the Israelites, just repent. Turn to me. Get rid of your idols, and I won't judge you. But if you continue in your waywardness, in your stiff-neckedness, is that a good word? Stiff-neckedness, glory to God. Amen. If you're going to continue to be stiff-necked and be hard, then you're going to reap the whirlwind. And I'm going to say this, when God tells me to repent, I'm dropping on my knees. If God reveals an area in my life I need to get right, then I better get right or get left. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Say, I'm getting right. Amen. So I love this because God's grace is upon mankind even after the fall. You believe that today? Even when Adam and Eve fell and they ate of the forbidden fruit, God's grace was on mankind. Do you believe that? I believe that. It says in Genesis 3:21, and Adam and his wife and the Lord, and this is after they sinned and God pronounced judgment. It says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. This is powerful. So we know this, and I believe that those tunics of skin was made from animals. That God had to sacrifice an animal. A blood sacrifice was made to protect mankind, so they could have fur coats. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So they could have snake skin boots. Glory to God. Amen. That's right, because we'll crush the head of the snake. Amen. So we're going to have snakeskin boots. Glory to God. And so I love this. So he made tunics. So the first sacrifice, it had to be a blood sacrifice. And it was to cover man with clothes. And that blood sacrifice signifies the blood of Jesus covering us. Oh, I'm going somewhere today. So that blood, that sacrifice that God caused to make tunics for them, to make skins to cover them, to protect them, God's blood protects us. And then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground, which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden as a flaming sword, which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So this is powerful. Some people say, well, God's mean. He threw Adam and Eve out of the garden. No, he protected Adam and Eve. What do I mean by that? Because it says right here in this text that if they ate of the tree of life, they would live forever in an eternal state of sinfulness. And so God already had a plan, and that plan was for our spirits to be redeemed and for our bodies to be redeemed. And God didn't want man to be an eternal place of death. He made a way so that man could be in an eternal place of life. That's good. That's good today. I'm telling you, that's worth combing your hair today. Coming out, glory to God. So God is so good. And so he protected mankind. Amen. When Jesus allowed his body to die on the cross so that his body could be resurrected, that was for each one of us. In other words, the body of sin was killed on the cross so that we could have a body of redemption. Amen. I love that. I love this because Jesus is the first prototype. He's the firstborn from the dead. And so, in other words, there's going to be a race of people, and we're moving in that. We have eternal spirits, but pretty soon we'll have eternal bodies. Do you believe that today? And I love what it says in Revelation 1, 5, and 6. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so this is the book of Revelation. This is Jesus Christ. This is the revelation that John got. And we see here that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Amen. And so we follow the same suit in the near future. So the powerful blood of Jesus washes our sins and eventually redeems our bodies. That's good news today. And notice Jesus' blood makes us kings and priests unto our God. I'm talking about words today. And I'm talking about that God's blood, that God brings us into a place where we're kings and where we're priests to our God. Amen. And a king has the ability to decree a thing. I would say kings decree, priests pray. So what is God calling each one of us to do? He's first of all, he's calling us as kings to decree a thing, and as priests to pray a thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So as a king, you have the power to decree things, and as kings decree things, things happen. Glory to God. I love that. That's powerful. And in Job 22, 26 to 28, we want to add praise and worship to our declarations. We want to add thanksgiving to our declarations. Thank you, Lord. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You add the thankfulness in the beginning of your confessions of faith. Start thanking God because you're bringing him into your equation. Thank you, Lord, that you're causing me to overcome in every circumstance of life. Thank you, Lord. You're bringing God in. You're adding God to your confession of faith. And then if you really want to put a little pizzazz on it, add Jesus' name at the end. In Jesus' name. So if you want to add a little bit more pizzazz to it, you know, a little bit more hot chocolate on the top of the sundae, glory to God. A little bit of nuts and that cherry on top. Then you have to add that in Jesus' name. You start adding that in your confessions. Praise you, Lord. I'm strong in you and the power of your might. In Jesus' name. Wow. You're doing something now. You're moving at a high level of faith now, glory to God. I love that. So it says here in Job 22 and 26, listen to what it says here. It says here, "For then you will have your delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him and he will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways." Amen. Most preachers just preach, make a decree, and it's so. But you got to read the whole text here. I like what it says in another translation, the CEV translation. It says, "And you will find happiness by worshiping him." You'll find happiness in worshiping him. God will answer your prayers, and you will keep the promises you made to him, and he will do whatever you ask, and life will be bright. I love that. So think about that. So he's actually saying, when you're making a decree a thing, and it'll be so. Job says, decree a thing, and it'll be so. But before he says decree a thing, give God some worship before you decree a thing. He's saying, give God some praise. This is what this is saying. And you'll find happiness by worshiping him. God will answer your prayers. He'll keep the promises you made to him. And whatever you ask, and life will be bright. Amen. That's a great translation. But what you say, God will make it come to pass. Do you believe that today? So we see here, praise and worship works hand in hand with the decrees that we make, not only in our personal lives. This is not only for you. Say, it's not only for me. This is for those that you love as well. Maybe you have some children that are out there, maybe not doing the right things. Start making some faith decrees over them. They're coming out of it. They're getting closer to God. Amen. They're coming out of stupidity. They're coming. Amen. They're coming out of that those bad areas. They're coming into God in Jesus' name. You need to start making some. Don't make the negative decrees over your children. Make positive decrees over them. Start thanking God that they're changing. Start thanking God that he's moving. Amen. I love that. Amen. So I love this because kings decree a thing, but priests pray. Say, I'm a priest. So not only do priests pray, but they give sacrifices. Do you know priests in the Old Testament give sacrifices? They were designed to give the sacrifice for the people. What kind of sacrifices as New Testament priests do we give? Well, let me give you a clue. We give sacrifices of praise. That's what we give to the Lord. In Hebrews 13, 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually, underline the word continually, offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So what as priests, what do we sacrifice? We bring the sacrifice of praise of our Lord. You got to get the head going. We bring the sacrifice of praise unto the house of our Lord. And we offer unto him the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Right? And we offer unto him the sacrifices of joy. Amen? So anybody ever heard that song before? Some of you never heard it. Some of the worship teams said, I've never heard that song before. We might need to get that one up. Amen? And so we bring the sacrifices of praise. When you come here on Sunday morning, you're coming in as a king, and you're coming in as a priest. You're coming in as a king decreeing some things. As you decree things, as I have you say things after me, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm having you declare some things, hallelujah. And as you worship God, you're bringing in sacrifices of praise unto your God. Praises and thanksgiving are keys, and it's key way of seeing God move in your life. So if you want to maintain the faith of God in your life, you must have faith in God's goodness. You must have faith in God's mercies. You must believe that God's blessings and grace is upon us, even though we might have some weaknesses, even though that we may have done some things that aren't great, that we may mess up every once in a while. God's grace is on your life. Why? Because I say this quite often, 1 John 1:9. And 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You cannot wear out that scripture. Amen. You can pray that scripture every time you miss the mark in God. You can confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm going higher this year. I'm coming out of debt this year. Well, that might be pushing it. I'm coming out of debt this year, glory to God. I'm amen. I got an amen over there. I'm getting healthier. I'm getting my health back this year. Hallelujah. I'm walking in more health.
I'm walking in more wealth. I'm walking in more vitality. I'm believing it. I'm confessing it. Thank you, Lord. I'm strong in you and in the power of your might, in Jesus' name. Did you get it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you are so good and so merciful. Your mercies are renewed every morning. And I thank you that your mercies upon us. And I thank you for those that are listening and watching, and perhaps you've never made the confession of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, today is the day of salvation. Jesus right now is knocking on the door of your hearts, and he wants to come into your life and have supper with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. But for that relationship to come to pass, you must ask Jesus to come into your life. If you just confess this simple prayer after me, I believe that you will invite Jesus into your life and he will radically change your life for the good. Say this out loud and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you're raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.